Let's take our Bibles this morning, go to Colossians chapter 2. I will go ahead and apologize now for all the coughing, because I know I'm going to be coughing a lot like I was in Sunday school, and I apologize. But I will try to keep it at a minimum. But Colossians chapter 2 this morning, I want to look at being rooted in Christ based on verses 6 through 8. But I do want to read verses 6 through 15. So Colossians chapter 2, reading verses 6 through 15 to start with. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for our sins being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I know it does not give us a license to continue living in sin knowingly, willingly. But Father, I do thank you that we do have an adversary. We have an advocate, Lord, with you, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can come to him with repentant hearts and ask for forgiveness. And Father, we know that we have the forgiveness because Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. But Father, we ask that you'd help us to have a heart that wants to and has a desire to not walk in sin, but to walk in the Holy Spirit, so our life will be blessed, so we can have fellowship with you, that our fellowship will not be broken. There'll be nothing between us. Our prayers will not be hindered because we're not regarding iniquity in our heart. But Father, we are regarding our Lord and Savior. We're regarding the truth of your word. We have a desire to learn and to hear from heaven, and not just be hearers, but doers of the word, so our life is blessed, so our path is plain, so Father, we can, without hesitation, follow our Lord and Savior and learn the things we need to learn in this life. Father, I do thank you for all that you're going to speak to our hearts about. I do pray that you guide and direct it. I pray that every one of us would have hearts that are ready to hear. Jesus talked about the different types of hearts. Some are fertile, some are rocky, some are full of weeds that choke out the truth. And Father, I ask that you would remove all distractions, rebuke the devil. Father, help us to hear from heaven today. May the word of God take deep hold upon our heart, and the word of God sink into our heart, and the root system would be strong and healthy and bring forth fruit in our life to your honor and to your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do want to talk about the importance of a good root system in our life as God's people, being rooted in Christ based on verse 6 through 8. I read all of it, though, to remind us just of the victory that we do have in Jesus Christ. And earlier I was sitting there, I kind of looked at 1 Corinthians 15 and just reminding myself that, you know, one day we're going to get that new body. We're going to get the glorified body, this body that is just racked with sin and just the different things that we do to keep our bodies intact. One day all the metal that we may have in our body will be left behind as we receive our glorified bodies in the presence of our Lord and Savior. But I just want to remind us this morning that it's imperative that you and I stay rooted in Christ. Once saved, always saved. You can't lose your salvation because that's a gift from God. We're held in the palm of Jesus' hand. We're held in the palm of God's hand. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand or Christ's hand. So we're saved and secured, but it's up to us to remain rooted in Christ, not allowing the rudiments of the world to deceive us, now not allowing the deception, the lies of this world and this nation to cause us to drift away from the Lord, but to be rooted in Christ so we will be strong Christians, healthy Christians, faithful Christians as we follow our faithful Lord and Savior. Now, when you think about a root system, I'm growing a garden for the first time this year, and things are looking good out there. I mean, I've already harvested a lot of spinach, a lot of kale. I just took my first couple of banana peppers, and the bell peppers are coming out. Things are looking real good. I got some eggs. I've got my own chickens. I mean, the eggs are doing, they taste good. I promise they taste better than store-bought eggs. But when you think about the vegetable garden, I mean, you need, those plants need a healthy root system to bear fruit, all right? But also so they don't get blown away with the wind. You and I, as God's people, need a healthy root system. Everything may look good on the outside, but how's the inside? How's your root system? How are you rooted in Christ? The Bible doesn't want us. The Bible tells us, warns us, don't be like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro, but we need to be grounded in Christ. And it is through God's word. It's through humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's submitting to the Holy Spirit in our life, not grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit in our life. But as the rootedness in Christ is a choice, we always understand we became planted in Christ at salvation, and we must choose to let our spiritual roots sink deeply into the soil of Christ as we seek our strength, our nourishment, and our growth from Him. The only way you and I are going to prevail in this dark world is through Christ. Things get worse and worse. They're going to get worse and worse. Again, like we talked about this morning in Sunday school, they will continue to call evil good and good evil. They will continue to say Christians are the problem. But no, sin is the problem. Christ is the answer. How can you, if you have a failed marriage, if you have a spouse who's not walking with God, how can you live through that? How can you find grace, victory, peace through that? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have our different lives. We all have our different problems that we face that maybe somebody else doesn't know about. We all have them. I have them. You have them. But Jesus Christ is the answer to it all. He's the only one that can help us to live through it and to still find hope, victory, and to rely upon His grace. And we find that through having a healthy root system, a spiritual root system, in our life that is grounded in Jesus Christ. Now, I know the older saints understand that the things of this world is always pulling at the Christian, always trying to get us to drift away from God. Yes, I'm saved. The devil can't take that away, but he does want to rob us of our faith, our joy, our peace, our focus on the Lord. He wants to taint our life with garbage. There's so much garbage on the internet. We've got to be careful. So much garbage in social media. It's amazing how many Christians run to social media to get their counseling, to get an answer to their problem, instead of running to Jesus Christ, instead of finding their hope in Jesus Christ. A relationship's not going to help. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, a new job is not going to help. I know of many Christians who job hop because they're trying to find the right job that will satisfy them, they find no satisfaction. I know of one man I can think of that had like 6 jobs in 1 year. Now, that would drive me crazy. But I know him, I know the reason. It's because he was drifting away from God and he was trying to fill the void with something better. It never works for the child of God. We have to be rooted in Christ and remain rooted in Christ. Spiritual rootedness does have enemies in the culture and the people of this world. And God warns us to be aware of both of the culture and the people that can draw us away from the Lord. Keep a finger here in Colossians 2, but go back to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 gives a very stark warning to the people of God. If we need counsel in our life, we find it in God's word. And there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Sometimes you can confide in another Christian that you know will pray for you and help you and seek God on your behalf, and you can trust them. There are some times where, you know what, it's just between you and the Lord. You think about David. David had to encourage himself in the Lord because all his men spake of stoning him because they blamed David for the loss of their families and the city of Ziklag being burned because he was the leader. And all David had was the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And there are times where all we can do is encourage ourselves in the Lord, and the way we do that is through God's word. Because it's God's word that feeds us. It's God's word that waters the seeds that have been sown in our heart. Listen, we're living in the Laodicean age. We're living in the times the Bible talks about many falling away, many turning their ears away from the truth. Listen, again, the only way you and I are going to survive is through Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ and tack something else on. It's only Jesus Christ. Because only he can 100% satisfy. Only he can give us the answers and the insight and the wisdom that we need. And we fully have to trust Jesus Christ. If we don't, then what's the point? What's the point of having a Bible or going to church or praying if we don't believe God has the answers? If we don't believe that God can truly help, then what's the point? Other than we are accustomed to it, we're used to it. It's a habit, just like the order of our service. You don't need a bulletin. The only reason why you need a bulletin, and I need a bulletin, is to know what songs we're singing. Otherwise, we know the order of the service. The pastor will get up. He'll introduce the first song. Then he'll pray. The next song, he'll give the announcements. Piano special. Sometimes we'll pass the plate around. This morning we didn't. That probably threw you off. But then we sing another song. I dismiss the junior church. We know the routine. But the routine should never be a routine. It should be something that we look forward to. Getting alone with God. Getting among God's people. To be reminded, you know what? I'm not the only one living in this dark, sinful world. I'm not the only one that's faced with hardships, with things that I'd rather not have to go through, but you know what? I can get encouragement that I'm not the only one. And we find that encouragement in the Lord's word. Look at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Again, we're talking about being rooted in Christ more and more, allowing the root system to grow deeper and deeper in our relationship with our Lord and Savior. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hopefully you have not found yourself at this moment in your life not really desiring God's word. not finding any joy in reading God's word. Because the word of God is not a novel written by a man or a woman. It's not a book full of fictions and a book that might and might not help you. There are many times I've gone to the word of God with a heavy heart. There's been times I've gone to the word of God not wanting to read it because I've got so much on my mind and just things to do. And yet, when you open up God's word, it truly is like taking a drink of cold water on a hot day. It just refreshes the soul. It gets our focus back on the Lord. And it reminds us, hey, the world doesn't have the answer, but God does. Again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You and I, we do desire to be strengthened in Christ. We desire to have a stable life. We desire to have direction in our life, and we desire to have our needs met. Verse 3 talks about that. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your faith will be strong. Your focus will be right. You'll be resolved in your heart like Daniel, not to defile yourself with the things of this world, because you don't want anything to taint or disrupt your relationship with Christ. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, God desires for you and me to be strongly rooted in Christ and to be growing. There's never a time where you and I on this side of heaven will get to a place where we don't need to spiritually grow anymore, where we don't really need the guidance of God anymore. There's not a single Christian that will ever get to a place where, you know what, I've learned enough. I've had enough of God's grace in my life. I don't need it anymore. You know the importance of prayer? The importance of prayer is the fact that we get close to God. We pour out our burdens to the Lord, even though he already knows them, yet he wants to hear from us. He wants us to open our mouths. He wants us to spend time with him. And I've heard people that say they're Christian when I have said, I'll pray for you. You don't need to pray for me. Pray for somebody else that needs it. They don't understand the importance of prayer. Because you know what? When you spend time with the Lord, your heart's drawn to him. Again, there's been many times I've gone to the Lord, and you probably have too, with a heavy heart, not even knowing how to articulate what's on your heart to the Lord. Lord, I know you know my heart, but I still want to tell you, and I don't know how to tell you. And then you just have tears streaming down your face, just not knowing how to get the weight off your chest. And then you feel just God, in his own way, giving you a hug and lifting that burden and speaking to your heart and reminding you of his promises, helping your roots to grow deeper in Christ so that your faith remains intact, so that you're not resolved to give up, but you're resolved to continue on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, the world is not going to help you or me to succeed spiritually, but the Lord will. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 7 again. Because I want us to see five reasons why we personally need to be and continue being rooted in Christ. In verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. So he's telling the church at Colossae, you've been taught these things. All right, Paul had established the church at Colossae. He had spent time with them. And yet he writes this letter back to them to encourage them in their faith, to give them more spiritual direction, encourage them in their journey as they walk with Christ through this life, and says, you know what? You've been taught these things, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. God desires for you and me to abound in our relationship with Him, to abound in our faith, and never succumb to the lies of the devil to where we give up our faith or we give up on walking with the Lord. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. There is so much happening in our country, in our world right now. It can be discouraging, but there are some good things that are happening. But at the same time, when you look at a whole, if you're always watching the news and listening to social media, you're going to be discouraged. That's why we need to have more of God's word dwelling richly in our hearts than the news in our minds that affects our heart. It's okay to keep up with what's going on so you know what's going on around the world and how to effectively defend yourself spiritually against the devil and his onslaught. But let's not let the things of this world dictate the faithfulness of our heart. Let's let the Word of God help our faith to continue to grow and help our focus to be on the Lord and to be reminded, if you were to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, we're reminded there's coming a day when you and I will receive our glorified bodies. No more sickness. No more glasses. I'm looking forward to that day. I despise glasses. But I'm not willing to get contacts. I cannot stand to put anything to my eye. My wife has contacts, and I just can't even stand to watch her, you know, put them in, take them out. It's like, I just can't. But I hate glasses. I'm always, you know, flipping them off, you know, all this stuff. And I'm looking forward to a day where I don't have glasses. I have perfect vision. Better than 20/20, because you'll be in heaven. You'll see everything clearly. No more sickness, no more coughing, no more metal keeping things together in your body. All that stuff will be left behind. I'm sorry, I'm on a rabbit trail right now. I just want to be able to, as the trumpet sounds and we're caught up in the clouds with the Lord, I just want to look back and see, you know what, is all that metal right laying on the ground where I was, my glasses, you know. I mean, you know, there's movies out there, Left Behind and stuff, that, you know, they kind of depict what's going to be like when people are left, you know, people are left behind and God's people are saying, I'm curious, you know. Is it really going to be like that? Because I will start laughing if all that stuff just left there in just a pile of heap, all right? I'm just looking forward to seeing the Lord, all right? So it doesn't matter. You can rejoice in seeing your Savior. You can rejoice in the fact that the devil is a defeated foe. Don't believe the lie that the devil has the upper hand. Don't believe the lie that wickedness and evil in this world has the upper hand. It does not. We're just reminded that God's not willing that any should perish, but they all come to repentance. God's just, there is a set time, and that time is drawing near. That's why it's imperative that you and I stay rooted in Christ and keep growing in the Lord and letting our roots grow deep, because we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 15. Skip down, if you would, just to verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of the victory that we have through Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Never forget, you have the victory. And what is it that gives us the victory in this world? Our faith in Jesus Christ. But there's five reasons why I want us to think about today that we need to personally remain rooted and growing in the Lord. He says again in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The first reason I want you to look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You can write this down. You can follow along. I'm going to kind of be quick about it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You and I, the first reason why we need to remain rooted in Christ and even in the Word of God is because of false prophets. And what is a false prophet? A false prophet is one that leads people away from God with the deception that they're following God. Not everything in this world that has the name of Jesus attached to it is of God. Not all music is godly music. Not all written material is of God. The devil does anything he can to lead you and me astray. Some have allowed recreation to become their God. Some have allowed relationships to become their God. Things of this world that are temporal. Again, the Bible does remind us in Hebrews that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As we see the approaching of Christ, it should stir our hearts to the things of God. It should drive us and compel us to spend more time with God's people, to spend more time on our knees, to get things right in our life. I don't care if the spouse doesn't. I don't care if the kids don't. I don't care if the parents don't. Vice versa, because some kids have a heart for God, some parents don't. God's people, as we see the day approaching, as we see the times, need to have a heart that is drawn to the things of God, and we prepare to meet our God, not allowing the devil to have any room in our life in any way, any fashion, no way. Now, is recreation wrong? No. I enjoy camping. I enjoy doing things outside. But that's not what I'm here for. God did not save me to spend a lifetime camping. But I'm glad for the blessings of going camping, spending time with family. I'm glad for the things he allows us to enjoy in this life. But those are not to take precedence over our relationship with the Lord and over what God wants us to do. Listen, the Lord knows the tactics of the devil. We do not. Now, you don't have to be deceived. The devil does nothing new. If he's used the same thing in your life and my life to trip us up, he'll continue to use the same thing, because why try something new when the old things work? I want you to look at Ephesians real quick. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the number one piece of the armor the devil wants God's people to lay down. Because if he can get God's people to lay down the shield of faith, the rest of the armor will come off voluntarily. Because we stop trusting God, we stop believing God, we stop following God. Therefore, well, I have no need for the rest of it. And God wants us to be sober-minded when it comes to our adversary. He is still our adversary. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen again, if you were to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're reminded the devil's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He does want to devour God's people. And we can't stand in the lie that, well, I'm saved, he can't do anything to me. That's standing in pride. That's being filled with pride. That's allowing ourselves to walk blinded. The devil wants to. Now, again, I believe that the devil can only do what God allows him to do in the life of a child of God. But sometimes we open the door to the devil because of what we choose to do or choose not to do according to God's will. You and I have to remain rooted in Christ and allow our roots to continue growing even deeper in the Lord. The first reason we need to stay rooted in Christ is because the lies of this world. Listen, don't allow, let me even just say this to us parents. They're still raising kids. And please don't get offended, but we cannot just allow our kids to do whatever they want, watch whatever they want, go wherever they want. There is an adversary that seeks to destroy. Jesus called him a thief. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I've got some good kids. But I also was a kid one time. I'm still a kid at heart. But physically, I was a kid at one time. And my parents could trust me. And I would tell them, you can trust me. But we all have a sinful nature. We all have sinful flesh. The Bible does say a child left to himself brings his mother shame. We can get into trouble. I say we as kids. Adults can get into trouble, right? Just because we're adults doesn't mean, you know, that we're immune to getting into trouble. What I'm saying is we've got to be careful with our children. We got to be careful with ourselves because the adversary, he's always looking for that opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does it by convincing us that it's okay. What caused sin to come into the world? What caused death to pass upon all? The devil didn't force it. The devil didn't force the issue with Eve. The devil simply said, yea, hath God said. Got her thinking. Got her taking the words that God said and dissecting it, believing some of it and not believing all of it. Yes, the fruit was good to look at. God created it. The fruit was desired to make one wise because God said, that's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And yes, it was going to taste delicious. God created that fruit, but it was a fruit that he said, do not eat it. And we all can have the excuse, well, if God doesn't want me to, then he'll keep me from it. If God didn't want me to, he would not have created it. The devil did not force Adam and Eve to eat the fruit. He simply planted a seed in their mind that affected their heart. Because as she continued staring at the fruit, she eventually took the fruit and gave to her husband who was with her. Both of them neglecting God's word. God said there would be repercussions to you eating that fruit. But they convinced themselves it would be okay. We have to be careful. We do not convince ourselves it's okay to neglect what God has told us will bring blessings into our life. Remember, God even had his people standing by two mountains saying, choose the mountain of cursing or choose the mountain of blessing. None of us would run out of here going, I want to be cursed. we would run out. Lord, I want to be blessed. But our actions, our choices, tell whether or not we want to be cursed or blessed. God truly wants us to be rooted in Christ. He truly wants the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life. He truly wants us to be grounded and steadfast in our faith that is in Jesus Christ, never allowing ourselves to be led astray, even by our own deception. I want you to look at Psalm chapter 14. And I can already tell this is going to be a two-part message, unless I keep you in here until 1 o'clock. But I won't do that. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and look at verse number 1. Second reason why we need to be rooted and remain rooted in Christ. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there's none that doeth good." You can continue reading, but I want you to think about that phrase. The fool had said in his heart, there's no God. Who's the fool? The fool is the one who does not believe there is a God. The fool is the one that believes God does not see everything, but the eyes of the Lord see the good and the bad. He sees everything that we do. He sees everything that we think. The fool is the lost person, the atheist, those that say, there is no God, I will not believe. They're a fool because one day they're going to meet their maker and be cast into the lake of fire. But many of God's people have played the fool in not trusting God completely with their life, not following wholeheartedly, not adhering to the ways of the Lord. No belief in God is the fastest growing religion in America. Do you know there's no such thing as a true atheist? Because what is an atheist? They say there is no God. But the Bible says the demons believe and tremble. They know there is a God. Just people have convinced themselves there is no God because they don't want to be subject to the authority of God. They don't want to admit that their life is not their own, that they have to answer to a creator. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. When we, as God's people, choose to go against the ways of God and choose not to be faithful to God and faithful to God's ways and grow in the Lord, we're being a fool. I will openly admit to you, there's been times in my life where I've been that fool because I thought I knew better than God. I thought I knew better that best what I should do. That doesn't mean I lost my salvation. You can't lose your salvation, but I sure don't want to be a fool anymore. I don't want to be someone who lives like there is no God, who does not see what I watch, what I listen to, where I go, what I say. Because you and I one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged of the things we've done in the new life that He's given us. So we will receive rewards for it. Now there's coming a day where you and I will hear those words as His people. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Those will be some sweet words as long as there's no regret attached to it. Regret that, you know what, we did not live 100% for the Lord. Regret that, you know what, I didn't do what He told me to do. I didn't go where He told me to go. I didn't tell somebody about Christ that He told me to tell them about. Because when you receive a reward, it's always good. There's just excitement with it, unless there is some regret. There was a time in my life as a little boy, I was having a conversation with my mom, and I don't remember the entire conversation, I remember through part of it, she was just telling me, you know, what a good son I was, and she knows there's, you know, sometimes there's hard decisions to make, and she was just, you know, having a nice talk with me, and in the inside, I was feeling like I needed to tell her something, something I had done that she didn't know about, and I kept having that battle on the inside, because you know what, it's nice to hear that you've done something good and how good you are, but then when you know you're hiding a secret, what they're saying doesn't matter because you're hiding a secret. You've done something that your mom told you not to do, and eventually I did. As a little boy, I busted out crying. I admitted to my mom what I had done. I felt better finally admitting it. Now, I did have to suffer the punishment for it, and being punished for your wrong is still okay. It helps us to learn, right? But what I want us to say, what I want us to understand is that let's not have any regret in our relationship with the Lord, that we're not hiding something from God that He already sees. If you're struggling with reading your Bible, admit it to the Lord. If you're struggling with daily prayers, admit it to the Lord. If you're struggling with forgiving somebody as Christ has forgiven you, admit it to God and ask for His help. If you're struggling with unbelief, tell the Lord, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Let's not have any iniquity in our hearts that we're regarding that it separates our fellowship, that God doesn't hear our prayers. Again, we have to have a strong root system in our life. In Proverbs chapter 1, you look at verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool despises wisdom and instruction that comes from God because they believe their way is the better way. And where do we get wisdom? The Bible says if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask of God who gives it liberally. He upbraideth not. God will give us the wisdom that we need. But you and I have to remain rooted in Christ, believing God's way is the best way to live the life that He's given me, regardless of what I'm facing. The wise Christian will always seek to be rooted in their relationship with Christ to keep from drifting away from God. Too many Christians have drifted away from God, and some are drifting away now. We have to be more concerned about our relationship with God than anything else. And I'm including myself in that. I understand life gets busy. The responsibilities that we have, we tend to them. But our relationship with God is more important, because without a right relationship with God, nothing else matters, because everything else will fall apart. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And this morning, let's not think that our relationship is perfect with God, that there's nothing to improve on, because God knows best. I know that I have improvement that needs to be done in my relationship because I'm a human. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Not only do we need to remain rooted in Christ because of the drift of this world away from God, but also because of the pull of our own flesh. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul talks about that inner struggle, that pull. That's why it's important we yield ourselves more to God. The flesh becomes weaker and weaker, and it's easier just to always do what God wants, to always put God first, to always to pray and to read God's word. But when we slowly give in to the flesh, it's almost like hitting the snooze button. You set your alarm to get up at 5 a.m., but you keep hitting that snooze button. Oh, just 5 more minutes. And it goes off again. You hit the snooze button. 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. Anyway, you know, 20 minutes have passed since you were supposed to get up. Now you're running late. because you were supposed to be at work at 5:45, and it's a 20-minute drive, and it takes you 10 minutes to get dressed. Now you're rushing trying to get where you need to go. You can't read your Bible because you didn't get up in time. And the devil already has the upper hand on your day and on my day. We all have those struggles where we just want to give into the flesh. But Jesus Christ promised that his grace was sufficient, because in our weakness, then he is strong. We have to resist the pull of this flesh by submitting to the Spirit of God that dwells within each of us, remaining rooted in Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to go through this really quickly so we can just finish up here. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, just looking at five reasons to remain rooted in Christ and to really focus on it in these last days that we're living in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." As Paul tries to encourage Timothy in his faith, he encourages in the scriptures. You know the scriptures that you've learned even from a child. Now, Timothy was brought up by a mother and a grandmother who were great women of God. His father was a Greek. His father obviously was not a believer, but his mother and grandmother taught him the ways of the Lord. You and I, as we started out as a child in Christ, newly saved, we were started learning the truths of God's word, started learning how to apply God's word to our life, learning how to follow and to trust the Lord each and every day. And that is what the devil wants us not to do. Not to follow the ways of the Lord, not to trust the Lord, not to cast our cares upon him. We need to be rooted because of the uprooting of the family in these days. Again, I know some don't have good marriages, but that does not mean you can't have a good relationship with God. Because David said, "When my father and my mother forsake me," God said that he would take us up. He would be there for us. He's there for the widow. He's there for the fatherless. He's there for the forsaken, the neglected. God is not like your husband. God's always there. He's always been faithful. God's not like your wife. Whoever has done you wrong, that's not who God is. And hopefully you and I have learned that God is faithful. Don't allow the devil to lie to you and to rob you of the joy of the Lord. Remain rooted in Christ. Remain rooted in your relationship with the one who's always faithful, the one who will see us and carry us through to the end. I want you to look at Proverbs 22, last place. Proverbs 22, verse 28. The fifth reason why you and I need to remain rooted in Christ and continue growing in the Lord. Verse 22 says, Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." You know, everywhere that God's people went, God had them put a pillar up, put up a stack of stones or whatever to remind them of what God had done. When Joshua led the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, one man from each tribe took a stone and they set it up in the midst of the Jordan River. And then they did another memorial on the land. Both were to testify of what God had done, but the one on the land, the children would see, and God told them, "When your children ask the meaning of these stones, you're able to tell them what God had done. We have the responsibility of leading the next generation to follow God. That responsibility falls upon all of us. Just as Paul said in I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. I know the world says there is no God. You be your own God. Our culture says that. Even our own government says that. It doesn't matter if our country doesn't follow God, God's people still need to. Because the government should not dictate how you and I live our life for the Lord and how we trust the Lord and how we believe that God is still on the rightful throne. He can never be dethroned. There's no election for the next God. There's always only been one. And you know what? That's something we can rejoice in, that he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is beginning and the end. There's nobody else. We don't always get the president we want. We don't always get the governor, the mayor. We don't get the political leaders that we want all the time. But I'm glad that he's always there. I'm glad that he's always on his throne. And you and I need to remain spiritually rooted in Christ so that we're not deceived, so that we do not drift away from the Lord, so our life does not become a wreck like the devil wants it to become. I want you to look back at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'm going to end with this. Because this is a choice that each of us have to make on a daily basis. A choice to remain rooted in Christ. A choice to grow in the Lord. A choice to allow the Holy Spirit's fruit to bear out in our life. You look at Galatians 5, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Those are all things that are beneficial to us, and it's only by the Holy Spirit having his way in our life and us submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to do what he wants to do in our life to strengthen our faith. Again, we live in a world that lies, because the God of this world, the little g God of this world, is a liar. He's the father of lies. You never see billboards with somebody drinking alcohol, driving, and killing people. Do you? No. The billboards always depict a person happy, joyous, with, you know, some alcohol in their hand, showing a good time. Because the devil never shows the result of sin. But God does. In his word, God tells us where sin gets us. And the young people have to decide that, you know what? Sin for a season is not worth it. Pleasure in sin for a season just is not worth a life full of hurt. Because I remember being a teenager. I remember thinking, I'm in control of my life. As soon as I turn 18, I'm out of here and I'm going to do whatever I want. And I soon learned that was not easy. That was a hard road to travel. A lot of uphill battles. The Christian life is not any easier when you try to live it on your own. But as a child of God, submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God so he lifts you up, allowing Christ truly to live in us and through us. Because you remember what Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20? He said, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I'm sorry. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that a wonderful thing that your Savior lives in you and lives his life through you? He gives you the ability to say no to yourself and to resist the devil. How do we resist the devil in our life? God says, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. We resist the devil, we resist the flesh, we resist the pull of this world by drawing nigh unto God. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, just reminding us, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Joshua was told by God, let not my words depart out of thy mouth. Joshua was told by God, you follow my ways, and you'll have success. You'll have prosperity in your life. The world has a different way of prosperity. God says, you humble yourself before me, I'll lift you up. I'm your God, I'll supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God says he'll always be there for you. God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we're living in the days where our faith is attacked more than it ever has been before. Again, what would we do if they literally closed the doors of the church and locked them with chains? They did that to some churches during 2021. Pastors have been imprisoned for holding services outside. All around the world, God's people are being persecuted. We just don't hear about it. It's not in the mainstream news media. But regardless, we serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God who deserves us to be the living sacrifices that say, Lord, here's my life. I want you to live through me. I want you, Lord, to help me to be faithful to you. Help me to have a right heart. Now's the time of salvation. Now's the time to let go of the unforgiveness, let go of the bitterness, let go of the resentment, let go of whatever it is that may be plaguing your heart and plaguing your mind, and saying, Lord, I want to be more rooted in Christ so I'm able to stand in the truth and the faith in these last days and be that light that I'm called to be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. I want to have an impact on the next generation, on my children, my grandchildren, their children, relatives. I want to have that impact. I want to leave an impression in somebody's life that they may not like me personally, but like the Pharisees said of Peter and John, they're ignorant men, but they took knowledge they've been with Christ. Their life shined brightly because of Jesus Christ.